1 John. All through the night last night, Linda asked me, did I sleep well? And I slept when I slept, and I was awake when I was awake. How many knows what I'm talking about? You ever had one of those kind of nights? And I heard this resounding voice in my spirit. Every time I was conscious, I'd hear 1 John. First, I should have been smart enough to have gotten up the first time I heard it. How many's ever done that? Come on. But about daylight this morning, a little before 6, I heard it again, and it was loud this time, and I knew I had overrun my time. So I bailed out of bed, and I went to the office, and I got into 1 John. I want to start with verse 13 this morning. I write unto you, fathers. That's really not the way the commas are in my Bible. It says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. To my surprise, I already had this scripture circled in my Bible when I got up this morning. God had already been talking to me in some times gone by. I remember the first time that God spoke to me about being a father and being a spiritual father was some 5-6 years ago. He said, I want you to start being a father to the fatherless. I want you to start being a father to those that have no father. I want you to start being a spiritual father to those that have no direction. Now, what an awesome thing for God to tell a person. But God spoke that to me, and from that point on, my life as a minister began to change. The whole scope and the whole appearance of who I was began to change. Why? Because I realized that my calling was not for me to be exalted, but my calling was for me to invest me in other people. And I believe that that's what God's saying to us this morning in this church. We are called into this church not just for our own benefit. However, we are going to be blessed and benefited from having been here. Already I can say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. But we are called here because we have a purpose. And our purpose is to invest ourselves in others. Susan, I'm so glad that you invested yourself in 2 friends and they're with you today. That's raw evangelism, folks. That is. You see, we invest ourselves. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. What the writer is telling us here is our strength comes from the abiding word of God. Many of us can go back to when we were first saved and we had such a zeal in us that we could go forward with a strength out of that zeal. Somewhere along the way, we have lost our zeal. Consequently, we have lost our strength. Did you realize that? When your zeal is gone, your strength is gone. The word of God abideth in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. What he's saying here is the only way you're going to overcome is by the word of God abiding in you. And with the word of God abiding in you, it says you have. That means it's past tense. You have already overcome. Once you deposit the word of God in you, you have overcome the enemy. Come on. I just delivered something to you, folks. When the Lord showed me about deliverance, he said, son, you don't have to go around casting out demons and being worried about a demon being behind every tree. What you need to understand is when you identify where the demon came in, you whipped him. Yes. Come on. We don't have to be worried about all of that stuff. I walk in the confidence of God. Yes. Because I'm his. And the word says if I'm his and I'm abiding in him and he's abiding in me, I have all that he has. Yes. The problem is when I don't abide in him and his word is not abiding in me, that gets me in trouble. Yes. Goes on, he said, for I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known. That's past tense. That's what got my attention this morning. He said, because you have known him. Immediately, the flesh man in me rose up. And I looked at the past tense. You have known him. Not present tense, you know me. How many would like to be awakened with that one? You have known me. And immediately you say, I thought I knew you. But he's saying, you've known me. Many of us have known him. But my question to you this morning is, do you know him fresh today? Have you had an encounter with him today? Can you tell me where you were when he called your name today? And what kind of an impact did that have on you? Did he just call your name and nothing happened? Or when he called your name, did his word begin to flow out of you? You see, if you're going to communicate with him, you got to communicate his word. Come on. If we're not communicating his word, all we're doing is begging him. And that's not a two-way conversation. That's not a conversation of intimacy. Verse 16. Now I'm going to go back to verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, now listen to this. This is not me saying, this is your Bible speaking. The love of the Father is not in him if we have love of the world in us and love for the world in us. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. God's saying something to us, people. God's saying something to us. If we're not careful, the love of the world will move inside of this building. As it has many churches. Many churches cannot have a free flow of the Spirit of God because the world has moved inside the doors of the church. And we have so worshipped the buildings that they have had our focus and not the one that has saved us and given us eternal life have our focus. What we see here is those three areas are the three areas that we are always going to contend with outside of the Word of God. You will have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life outside of the Word of God. The only way that we are even remotely covered from those things and those attacks are in and with the Word of God. God's Word. Verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Do you realize that those things that we are lusting with are going to pass away? That means that they only... I want you to listen to this one now. Your lust, as enjoyable as your lust may be, it only has a season. It only has a season. That you desire, the lust of your eyes, those things that the lust of your eyes make you spend your life accumulating, only has a season. Only a season. And the pride that you get from those accumulations has an end. And that end is death. Let's read this one again. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That is a powerful verse of Scripture there. We need to understand that we must have the Word of God in us, or we cannot carry out the will of God. For the Word of God is the will of God. It is the will of God. So if you have the Word in you, you are going to be carrying the will of God out of you. You see, everything He gives us is seed time and harvest. By the way, those that gave this morning, thank you. We do not have a membership that costs you money around here. You are not obligated to put in this pan to be a member of this church. Come on. But the seed you plant will bring you back a harvest. You can't refute that one. And part of that harvest is that you eternally plant, you will eternally harvest. Don't miss that one. That's why that your tithe and your offering goes much farther than just this offering pan. Come on. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. I wish I had time to really bring this scripture, this next couple of scriptures home. I don't have time this morning, but we will at some point in the future. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that were not all of us. Verse 20. If you don't get anything else out of this message today, I want you to get verse 20. For verse 20 is where you're living today. Verse 20 is what will keep you in God's word. Verse 20 is what will keep you clean and pure and holy before the Lord. Verse 20, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. When Jesus came, he said, I didn't come to do away with the law or the covenant or the Ten Commandments, but I came to add a dimension that the Ten Commandments could not cover. Here's the dimension that he came to add. He added two. He took the ten and added two. Not taking away, but he used two to cover the fullness of all ten. Yes. And that's obedience and love. Yes. All the first ten commandments can be summed up with those two, being obedient and being in love with him and loving people out of the love that he gives for us. But here is the dimension that he brought. This is the change that came about. The old covenant, they could not keep it because it was bound up under the governorship of flesh. Your flesh cannot govern enough law to keep you holy. Many of us have fought all of our lives with our flesh to keep it holy, and we've lost the battle. How many is going to be honest enough to raise your hand to that one? Both my hands are up. I'm preaching the gospel, but both my hands are up. My flesh can't control my flesh. Come on, and yours can't either. Don't quit lying to yourself. It can't. None of us can. But here's how you do it right here. Verse 20. You have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. When I got to this one this morning as I was reading, I understood exactly why God had awakened me and had unctioned me all night long. Come on. Some of you have fought the unction all night long too. Come on. You see, that was an unction. Every time I turned over and I could hear, 1 John. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. Every one of you heard God speak to you the same way. That's an unction of the Spirit. And we can spurn that unction till we no longer hear that unction.
That's right.
And that's what gets us in trouble.
Amen.
Come on. I'm preaching something this morning, and I know I am. This will set you free and keep you free. It's the unction. It's the unction. It's the unction in us that keeps us. It's not your flesh, but it's as your flesh is obedient to the unction.
Yes.
Then you're empowered by the Holy One to stand against the temptation. If you violate the unction, you fall to the temptation. Come on. Come on, it's right here in the Word. I've not written unto you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. The word does not lie. The word is truth. So the unction of God does not lie. The unction of God is truth. When we get to a place of confusion, and we're going to cover that even a little bit more, When we get to a place of confusion, most of the time it's because we have overridden the unction. I hear many people say, well, I don't really receive that because, and they go through their whole list of because, and all of the because come out of the flesh realm, not of the spirit. Your flesh will always argue with the spirit. Your flesh many times will argue with the unction of the spirit. Who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Antichrist. What the writer is telling us here is the Antichrist is even at work now. There's more than one Antichrist that's at work. We've been deceived into thinking there's only one Antichrist coming, and he's going to come back in the last day. He's already here, folks. And he has many disciples that's working with him and for him and trying to move in the kingdom of darkness. Look around. Look at your news. Listen to your news. The kingdom of darkness is knocking in your house door. In fact, the kingdom of darkness is living in your house if you've got that boob tube tied on. Oh, my.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to go farther right here this morning. I'm going to sound like one of them old-time Pentecostal preachers. When the television first come out, they began to preach it's from hell. I didn't agree with them then, but I've lived 40 years since. I think they were closer to the truth than we are. Come on. Television's not wrong. It's your lack of control of it.
Amen.
That's where we get in trouble. And what we do not realize happens is it steals the truth out of us. Every time you turn the news on, it steals your faith. Try it sometime. Just go full faith and turn the news on and sit and listen to it 30 minutes and watch your faith plummet.
It's true.
It'll do it every time.
Yeah.
Why? Because all you're going to hear is negative.
Yeah, right.
My God is not a negative.
Yeah.
He's a positive.
Yeah.
Everything he gives me has life in it, not death.
Yeah.
That denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Verse 24, verse 25 are two fabulous scriptures. Let therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. What happens to most of us? Is that came into us when we gave our life to him in salvation has not abided in us. That of the world has fought for the possession of you to the point that what we started with, we are not continuing with. If we continued in it, the flesh realm of us would not have control of us. It's only as the flesh of us gets control of us, that's when we get in trouble. What's happening is in verse 24 here is that we started with, we let it, for some reason, get out of the first focus of our life. Not the only focus. See, we have abilities to focus on more than one thing. How many can think on two things at once? Don't shake your head. You have the ability. You may not have exercised it, but you can do it. You can focus on two things at once. But when you focus on God, there's no other focus. Come on, because the spirit of you is in control. When the spirit of you is in control, you have one focus. And everything else is focused through that focus. We can be driving down the road thinking about doing something somewhere else in the flesh realm, can't we?
Amen.
You have two focuses then, don't you? Come on, Andrew was planning yesterday. I'm sure he wasn't just sitting there all day long looking at that mark thinking, that's where I'm going. He'd have went nuts if he had a... I've been there, I know what I'm talking about. His mind had to go somewhere else so he could stay the course. And that happens every time we get in the flesh. Don't miss what I just told you. Your flesh cannot keep you focused. But your spirit can. Your spirit can. It's in the spirit. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, eternal life. Everything I do in the spirit, with the spirit, as the spirit is my focus, I do it with eternal life at the end of my vision. Come on. And if you're there, some of the things the enemy has gotten you with in the past, he will not get you with in the future. Oh, this is good stuff. I'm preaching a whole lot better than your amen in me this morning. As long as you're focused on eternal life, the activities of your flesh will change. And that your flesh used to desire, it will no longer give time to. This is some good stuff, folks. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Come on. Verse 27, circle it in your Bible. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man should teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. We're getting back to the unction again. It's the unction of the anointing. The anointing will bring an unction into you. If you think I'm not anointed and you have an unction of God, the devil just lied to you, because that unction is of the anointing that you have. You see, the enemy tries to lie to most of us and think you can only hear from the preacher, or you can only hear from those that are at a certain level or a certain criteria. That's a lie from the enemy. That unction that's inside of you is a clarity that the anointing is on you. Come on. Come on, and that anointing has power to keep you. As long as we listen to the unction of the Spirit, we have the power of the anointing. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm preaching something that's going to make us free, keep us free, and we're going to be focused in the right direction. This church can go forward, and it can accomplish all that God has called. Who is the church? We are. You are. It's not made up of me, it's not made up of Ron, but it's made up of all of us collectively. Individually, we are the church, we are the temples of God. As that unction is in each of us, this is how the multiple of the kingdom of God comes. As the unction unctions us, wherever we are, Phil was unctioned the other day to take a journey in a certain direction, and God so richly filled his life with an experience that day. Cheryl, the other, with the testimony that she gave with her and her mama's neglect to let her bail fall off. But God sovereignly came in. The unction of the anointing that was on them. Now listen to me. The unction of the anointing that was on them passed even to non-believers. Listen to me. This is powerful. The unbelievers were unctioned to the need that was at the moment. God used the world to bring into the body of Christ that they had need of at the moment. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. This is powerful, folks. When you pass over the unction time and time again until you no longer hear the unction, the power of the anointing in you will also pass by you and will not be working for you. This is powerful, folks. There's some stuff in this scripture right here. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him. Fathers, mothers, you have an obligation to your children to teach them the unction of the Spirit. We teach them how to play baseball, softball, basketball, soccer, and how many other gods are we serving? Come on. Come on. Let's go back to 1 Kings 9. Look at something here. Let's go to verse 6. Chapter 9, verse 6 of 1 Kings. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye are your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them. There is something that's happening in America that we don't even realize that's happening in America simply because we are worshiping other gods. If you think sports has not become another god of worship, try to get a crowd of people to go worship God on Super Bowl night.
Right.
That shows you whose God they're serving or what God they're serving.
Right.
Or let the championship be in a drivable place to where you can go drive to it and try to gather a praise gathering the same night that the championship game is. That shows you the God that's being served. I am not against sports. But I remember when my children were little and we were in a city of probably 20,000. My girls was on softball team. I wanted them to be on softball. My girls' team had seven daddies was a coach. Everybody all over town referred to their team as that's the team that's got seven coaches. Because us seven dads, we wanted to be a part. We played ball through our girls. How many knows what I'm talking about? I remember the time that my daughter went to second base and she turned around and she looked at me. She said, Daddy, I can't do anything wrong. You won't let me. And I realized I was trying to play the game through her, not letting her play the game and have fun. It became a god. We got to get honest at times, folks. We do serve gods. And they do get our attention. And it becomes number one. But what we see here is this. And this is what I cry about. Because this morning, I saw something. Then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I've given them. And this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a pervert and a byword among all the people. If you think serving other gods won't bring you the chastisement of God, we need to rethink this. If you think allowing other things to get your focus away from God does not come with consequences, you need to rethink this. For we're talking about Israel, God's chosen. His chosen. And he said, I'm going to cut you off. And at this house, which is high, everyone that passes by it shall be astonished and shall hiss. And they shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and to this house? Verse 9. And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. America is suffering from evil today because we have allowed other gods to be worshipped in this land. There's only one God. There's only one Son, Jesus Christ. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. You can't work enough. You can't give enough. You can give in these offerings, but that won't save you. That won't guarantee you eternal life. But it's as we are keepers of the unction that he puts inside of us. We need to understand, folks, and they shall answer because they forsook. I want you to go on down with me in verse 10 and look at something here now. How many remember Solomon? Solomon was the wealthiest and the wisest of all. Said there was none before nor after. Well, I have abided by that theology until the early morning hour, and I saw something here. Would you read verse 10 with me? And it came to pass at the end of the 20 years when Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house. something rolled over inside of me, and I said, Lord, I have read your word for years, and I've missed this one. You go on and you look into the word, and you're going to find that from that act, things begin to go the other direction. Even as he was building, and you go on through the rest of this chapter here of chapter 9, and you see that he was building, but in the building, you see there's a couple of things that started happening, and it was overlooked. If you think the enemy is going to just blatantly come at you, you've got another thing coming. He's going to mix some stuff into the context of your life as you're living life, and you're going to be so involved with other things that you overlook what he's doing until what he's doing has you captured. That's what was going on when I looked at Solomon. The real problem was Solomon had been given one of the most awesome tasks that any man had ever been given. David couldn't build the temple, but Solomon could. Because David was a man of war, but Solomon was the son of. So all that Solomon had need of was accumulated by his father. It goes back to what God said over here in 1 John. Fathers. Fathers. Because you have known me, you have a responsibility to provide for those sons everything that they need to build the temple correctly. Solomon built the temple, but he also built himself a house of the same grandeur that he built the temple. Be careful how you build. Because if you're building your house with the same grandeur that you build the temple of God, you've got a destruction waiting on you. I saw that this morning and I thought, oh my, I've overlooked this. And how many of us have overlooked this in Solomon's life? We have given him lots of praise and he accomplished a lot. But at the very beginning is when he lost his battle. And so will we. At the very moment that we let the things of this world dictate our actions that the Spirit's telling us, we are building our house equal to the temple of God. It's that simple, folks. It's that simple. God wants his house to be number one. He doesn't care how you live. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have the good of the land. But he wants his house to be first. Come on. And until his house becomes first, we cannot please him. We go on a little bit in the word and we see some things. Let's go to 2 Kings 17, verse 20. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hands of the spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. This is a result just a few chapters on down the way. As the people of God's choice begin to build other gods and other temples. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, king. And Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them, from the sins of Jeroboam, until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight. As he had said all by his servants the prophets, so was Israel carried away out of their own land. People, when we turn to other gods and other followers, we need to be very careful. I want to say a word right here at this point, then we're going to go back to 1 John. Be careful who you follow, for those that are leading you will either bring your soul to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of flesh. If they're not preaching the word in the context of the fullness of the word, run for your life, because your life is at stake, and it will cost you your life if you deviate from the word. So what we're seeing here is he carried them out. Now let's go back to 1 John, verse 24 of chapter 2. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, comma. The promise is that the Father and the Son will be abiding in us. Now the comma also goes ahead and says, even eternal life. That's the icing on the cake. That's only the icing on the cake. We need to get refocused. The Father and the Son will be abiding in us. Now, if the unction of the Spirit has already been unctioning us, then the Holy Spirit is living in us. I know this might be redundant to you, but let's get this morning. The unction of the Spirit of God that's in us, unctioning us, what's He going to unction us to? The Word. Who's Jesus? The Word made flesh. Who's God? He's the Word. So the Spirit is unctioned by the Word. What did you receive before you gave your heart to Him? You had to receive the Word, or you could not become a child of the King. So at the reception of the Word of God, you receive the fullness of what He had for you. But we have to have knowledge of what we've got in us, or it will be no use to us. So what He's saying now is, you've received the fullness of the promise when you have the unction of God in you. And when the unction of God is working in you and you are obedient to that unction, then God the Father and Jesus the Son comes and abides in us. And that's what the Scripture means when it says a threefold cord is not easily broken. The threefold cord that won't be broke is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And if you've got them and you are abiding in them and they're abiding in you, there's nothing the enemy can bring against you that will overcome you. Come on. Boy, you ought to be on your feet shouting right now.
Yeah.
If you're not, I'm going to encourage you. Get on your feet.
Yeah.
Come on. I'm going to run back over here and give you one more scripture to try to bring this thing home to you. John 17. I'm in the Johns today. I pray for thee. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine. This is red letter in my Bible. Do y'all know what red letter means? Okay, this is Jesus speaking. This is not Gary speaking. This is Jesus. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no more in the world, but those are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Do you realize what Jesus is saying to the Father with this scripture? What He's saying is, I'm not going to lose one that comes that you've given me. I'm empowering them. I've given them the unction, because when Jesus ended all of this, He said, I'm going to send you back a comforter. Remember? He said it. And that comforter is going to be your what? It's going to be your counselor. In other words, when I get to where I don't know what to do, He's going to counsel me. How's He going to counsel me? With that unction. Come on, listen, this is some good stuff this morning. I'm going to comfort you with that unction, and that unction, if it's obeyed, will keep you out of the world.
Amen.
Oh my, this is some liberating stuff. Now then, if we are abiding by that unction, it's going to give us the power to discern what's of the world and what's of the Spirit. So we have to have the discernment of God. We have to have and the discernment of God is nothing more than the understanding of God.
Amen.
Come on. Now then, He says, I am no more in the world. Where is He abiding? If He's no more of the world and He's abiding in me, I'm no more of the world. Get this. Don't miss this one. So, I'm no more of the world, and I come unto thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. In other words, He's our advocate. And He's saying, Father, keep those that are listening to the unction. Keep those that the world cannot come back in, because by that unction, the world stays out. As we are obedient to that unction, the world stays out, that they may be one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and I become one when I obey the unction of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And the power of one will overcome the multitudes. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this word that you've given us. I thank you, Lord, that this is straight from your throne room. We guard this word this morning by the power of the Spirit. Father, right now we cover this word that not one particle of this word would be lost, would be forgotten, nor would it be stolen. We seal this word now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we seal it that it will work in us and continue to work in us and continue to be a part of us, and that we become one with you. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this message. I thank you for it now, Lord.